Next on BYUSN, hey, it's game day eve for BYU football. We'll discuss which questions we want answered against the Salukis and give you our first bold predictions of the season about what will happen tomorrow night. Uncle B, Blaine Fowler, joins the program to preview the matchup. What kind of statement does he want to see BYU make?
Women's soccer hosts undefeated number 19 Utah State tomorrow. Goalkeeper Lynette Hernandez previews the biggest matchup in the history of that rivalry. And the debut of our new Big 12 Pick'em segment featuring our first guest picker of the season, Jonathan Tavernier.
Well, it's a good thing we went with somebody that doesn't have very many opinions, right? Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Friday, August 30th.
Yes.
I am Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan, and you have a favorite number one, right? As in how many days away it is till BYU kicks off?
Countdown to the Salukis.
One day away.
Once upon a time, we used to shoot out like confetti cannons in here, and literally they would drop down months later.
Sometimes years later.
We've decided to just keep it clean up here. Just fewer items around. We're not shooting off confetti cannons. We're just about business here.
We made it to the 12th BYU football season this Daily Show has covered.
Not bad. The over-under was 4.5, so I feel good about covering there.
Overperforming?
Yeah.
Did you say 4.5 because that's what the over-under is for BYU football?
No, just that's what I was told.
Are you saying in a roundabout way that because it was 4.5?
So there's no way.
And it's now 12, BYU's going to win 12 games this year?
12 games? No. I would love 8 games.
I'm not sure we can constitute blue goggles big enough for that.
That's
but hey, emotions are high, things are good, vibes are up. All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Can't wait to get the season started. This will be a good test for whoever BYU rolls out there.
We're all anxious to get on the field this week.
We really look forward to hurting somebody else on the end of the weekend.
A perfect Saturday for BYU football, and we are ready to go.
And we are ready to go for today's What's Trending. We have some questions as the Cougars are now roughly 32 hours away from kicking their season off against the Salukis of Southern
precisely
Illinois.
Precisely 32 hours.
Yes.
Almost
because
precisely.
If it is a 6:02 kick, it would be exactly 32 hours.
Say that. Well, 32 is pretty precise.
Okay. You're Mr. Technicality. I'm trying
Not anymore. I don't produce anymore.
Represent.
I don't have to keep track of timing.
All right. Well, I need you to be technical here as you answer this question. What is the biggest question or most important, most pressing? You choose the verbiage. The question that you want answered most tomorrow night against Southern Illinois.
I don't know that you can answer much in game one against an FCS foe that you should beat at home soundly. Like, the real answer, Spencer, won't come until kind of midway through the season where we're like, okay, BYU's played 4 or 5 Power 5 teams and so on and so forth. So, yes, there's sort of a hint, an idea that can come out of this game. But just because BYU does one thing in this game doesn't mean that the whole season's going to go a certain way. So, for example, I would like to see BYU dominate in the run game.
Yes, please.
And if they don't, that's not good. If they do, it doesn't mean it's going to happen in Big 12 play. It may be that you're playing an FCS team, albeit a good defense that was top 10 in everything last year. Granted, they don't return as many guys, like 4 returning starters. I would like BYU to play clean, few turnovers, if any, penalties. Like, you don't want procedural stuff, although that does happen in game one. Ultimately, we'll take a convincing win and go from there. Like, if you're SMU, and we've talked about this, they barely won at Nevada, who doesn't look that good, but they walk out of there and go, okay, we know we have issues. We're going to clean these up. We're going to beat up on Houston Christian this week, and then we're going to go get after it against BYU. For BYU, you've got to answer some of those questions this week, but they won't fully be answered. I just want like a hint, like a little nice appetizer that goes, oh, I'm feeling good here. I would also like whoever the quarterback is, we think Jake Retzlaff, to play well, like play efficient. He doesn't have to throw for 300 yards. But I want efficiency. I want a passer rating that's 160 plus, like something real quality, and to go from there. Because ultimately, it's game one, and ultimately, it's an FCS foe. It is not going to tell us everything about the season.
How much different will Southern Illinois be than Sam Houston was last year? I feel like they are comparable levels. Maybe Sam Houston was a touch better because they are upper division, but I don't know that they're that far off. And last year, against Sam Houston's defense, a much lower tier opponent in Provo, similar situation. BYU expected to win big. The Cougars didn't. They ran for 112 yards against Sam Houston. They passed for 145.
Yeah.
Jerem, that was so underwhelming for BYU.
Sure.
So while it is just one game, you know, I've been ringing the bell all summer long that when it is a lower tier opponent in that first game, we learn some things about what BYU could be this season. And I'm actually going to put more stock into this game. If BYU can't run the ball.
Well, if they can't do something
against Southern Illinois. So they need to show me that they can against a lower division opponent. That's the question I need answered most. I want it.
But it still doesn't mean they'll be able to against quality P5.
No, I'm not saying. But you should be able to at least an inferior opponent. Should you not? Because BYU couldn't do it against Sam Houston.
Yes.
They couldn't do it against Southern Utah. And they finally did it when Aiden Robbins got healthy late in the season.
BYU blows out Southern Utah last year. It doesn't mean everything's good. It means you beat up an FCS team. Like, I'm not going to look. You're looking into this game more than I am. That's for sure.
Yes, I am.
Like, if you can't do something, that's different. If you can't, it doesn't mean it's going to work against those same teams. So it's sort of a tricky thing for
BYU. Isn't
it
answered then to a degree? If BYU can't run the ball tomorrow, don't you have that question answered? Like, oh boy, the offensive line might not be better, and the running game is not good again.
Yes, but if they do in a huge way, it doesn't mean they're going to be awesome. If BYU wins 70-7. It doesn't mean they're going.
I'm not saying it will.
You know what I mean?
I'm looking for the answer against a lower tier opponent specifically. That's what I want answered most.
If only BYU played lower tier opponents all year.
Can BYU dominate a team that they should physically in the trenches? Like, can they do that? I hope
they did against SU last year and still went 5-7. You know what I mean?
Did they run the ball well against SU? They didn't.
But 41-16, he gave up a late touchdown. That's the kind of score we've talked about being good enough.
I don't think it was good enough because SU is not nearly as good as Southern Illinois in the FCS ranks.
SU, we've given Southern Illinois a lot of love. That top 10 defense still went 8-5.
What I'm saying is
FCS quarterfinals team, Final Four.
After the 41-16 loss, the rhetoric was it was for BYU.
Because we expected
wasn't good
even more.
It still wasn't good
enough.
And
then they beat Arkansas. We thought BYU was good. It's like, well, we need half the season to really know what BYU's going to do.
Please run the ball against a team that you should dominate in the trenches.
For sure. For sure. Okay. What would qualify? We talked about this yesterday. Like, hey, it'd be nice if BYU made a statement tomorrow. What is that statement, and what would qualify as a statement win?
Okay. With Southern Utah in mind, and just bringing up last year's result, 41-16, that wasn't a statement. It was a, BYU, they should have beaten Southern Utah and they took care of business, but it wasn't a statement. It was just like, all right, we didn't really learn anything. We were kind of in denial that BYU couldn't run the ball. Like, it's almost like we didn't want to believe it. So again, statement win for BYU tomorrow night. They got to go 200 plus in rushing, and BYU's got to win by 30 in a game that they're a 14-point favorite in. We're talking statement win. BYU has to win by at least 30, and they got to run the ball, man. They got to run the ball for at least 200 plus. They just that to me, like, if they do those two things, I'm like, okay, you won 42-10. Awesome. This is a better team than Southern Utah was last year. So even if it was a 41-16 against Southern Illinois compared to what it was against SU, it would feel better because we think that Southern Illinois is a more quality opponent. But two specific things: win by 30, run for 200 plus. Would you add anything different to that?
I need a bigger margin. So if we're talking about who's the statement to, is it to the fans?
To me, it's to the BYU fans.
To the BYU fans?
Yes.
Then you need to win by 40, because you should beat an FCS team by 30 plus. Like, at home, if you're a P4 team, come on, man.
But BYU didn't even do it last year against Southern Utah, who's worse than Southern Illinois.
5-7, right? If BYU is – now, when I hear statement, I think, like, nationally. Like, oh, did you hear what BYU did? You need to put up 70 then. If it's going to be nationally, I think for the fan base, you run for 200 and you win by 40 plus, like, 33-3 didn't score enough. Like, let's go – if this offense is better, show me. Because guess what? You're going to have to put up points in the 30s against Big 12 teams to win more often than you think. So if you ain't putting up 50 – or something against Southern Illinois, it could be another long season. We need to see something that gives us a hint that it is different. Like, what is that? It needs to be something not in the 30s or maybe even low 40s. Like, if we're talking about a statement, I'm not talking about, like, a good enough win. A statement needs to be something where you kind of go, oh, whoa. Like, I wouldn't say that What Utah did to Southern Utah was a statement.
You wouldn't? It was 49 to nothing, and it was 35 zip at half.
Like, even more. You're number 12 in the country. You're supposed to do this.
They called out the dogs at halftime. Like, if they leave the starters in, they're going to win 77 to nothing.
Aren't the backups better than the starters? Why weren't they putting it on Southern Utah? That was a nice win. It wasn't a statement, though.
Really?
If we're talking statement, that's not a statement.
Wow.
I don't need a statement, though. I don't need the statement. I know we're asking this question. I just need to see a hint that it's better. I just need to see a hint. It doesn't tell us everything.
I just
need to feel like we're headed in a better direction.
Would my suggestion of 30-plus point win when you're a 14-point favorite and running for 200-plus be the hint that you need?
I guess. But ultimately, it's the FCS game. I'm not going to read into it too much.
Oh, man.
Give me SMU. Give me Wyoming. Give me Kansas State. Then we'll start to see who BYU is.
This is all based on what BYU did last year.
FCS game. Too hard in what BYU is going to do this whole year.
But what if it's bad? Will you lean into it then?
I will lean into it. I'm talking the good part. Because a lot of
just lean into the good with me, won't you, for a minute? If it's good.
It doesn't tell you. Like last year. No. Last year, BYU put up 41 and
that was not good enough.
And it was 5-7.
My point was that's not good enough.
Right. So 41 tomorrow won't be good enough either.
Against a better team.
Give me 50.
Against a better team?
Give me 50.
All right. Yeah. Okay. It's time to be bold. And maybe this will come out in these bold predictions we're about to make for BYU Southern Illinois game. But dealing with what we were just talking about in regard to statements. But, Jerem, lay out your two bold predictions for tomorrow's game.
I don't think that these are crazy bold, but they passed the producer test. I said BYU runs for 200 yards.
Oh, given, come on!
Given how porous and bad BYU's run offense was last year, and the fact that there is still, I know LJ has told us, hey, I'm 100%, I'm good. There's still that hint of like, is he 100%? Because if he's not, that changes things a little bit. But can BYU run for 200 tomorrow? My second one is this. That the Cougars have three takeaways. Defensively, you need to take it away a bunch of times. And then offensively, you're hoping for zero, but if you only have one, if you're plus two, that should be good. So I'm hoping that the BYU defense creates enough takeaways there. Obviously, I'd take more. Frankly, I don't think these are that bold against an FCS opponent, but when you go 5-7 and Vegas says you're going to win 4 and we think it's 7-5, those might actually be bold in game one.
Okay, I'll give you my two bold predictions. Number one, BYU will have a 20-plus point lead at halftime.
If they don't, that's weird.
They didn't score 20 points in their first game last year.
Right.
They didn't score 20 the entire game.
Yes.
So they will have a 20-plus point lead by halftime. Again, I'm with you. On the surface, it's like, oh, is it that bold? It is based on what BYU was last year and what expectations are this year.
I kind of hate that standard. It's pathetic.
It is what it is, though.
You should have 30-plus points at halftime and be up huge.
20-plus point lead at halftime, number one. Number two, I'm so sad I have to even go here, too. BYU will convert on over 50% of their third downs against FCS Southern Illinois. You know what BYU was last year on the season? 28%. 131st in FBS. You know what BYU did against Southern Utah on third down? 33%. What are we doing?
Well, when you're in third and 6-plus a lot because you couldn't run the ball, it's tough. BYU's got it. If you run the ball well, that number is going to be 50.
BYU will convert on 50% or more of their third downs. That one to me feels bold, with a capital B.
Are you ready for what's called a running quarterback? Last year, Keaton Slovis wasn't going to dash out on a third and 6 for a first down.
No, they called a couple of running plays. Didn't go so well.
At the end zone, near the end zone, it did early in the season for Keaton. We were like, Keaton the runner, and then he runs the 4-5 at the 40 at the combine. We're like, where was that? But I'm excited to see what BYU is. If it's really good, okay, that's awesome, but let's take it with a grain of salt. If it's not good, now it's like, oh no. Is this still the same offense from last year? But then let's see them. What if they explode 1 week and then the next they're not as good? Southern Utah, they win, and we're like, yeah, that was okay. Then they go and come back against Arkansas down 14-0.
Opportunistic, outgained by more than 200 yards, somehow win the game.
Arkansas wasn't that great, but I don't complain about SEC wins.
We never will. Yeah. We never
just
will.
Just win by one. Just, I don't care.
All right, football out for the moment as we move into the season opener for 16th-ranked BYU women's volleyball this weekend when they host the doTERRA Classic. What are you hoping to learn about the team in these three games against opponents that aren't notable names, but still good teams?
They all three opponents for BYU won their league this year, Southeastern Louisiana and Fairfield and High Point. So that'll be interesting.
All three conference champs.
I'm going to call both on ESPN Plus coming up at 2 Eastern and 9 Eastern. So that'll be fun. I'm open to just learning the BYU lineup, Spence. I think Alex Bauer is probably going to be the starting setter for her sister Whitney. Kind of fun, that continuation. Who are the other outside hitters with no Aaron Livingston? You lost
That's Whitney, my number one question. Whitney How McEwen. The heck do you replace Aaron Livingston? So, who does it?
Lineups, is this team like at that level of being number 16? Are they top 25-ish? I'm excited about it. I talked to Heather Olmstead yesterday. She's excited to see what this team is as well with some good early tests. We always should win all three of those.
Okay.
But keep in mind, a week from tomorrow, Georgia Tech's coming in. That's a top 20 matchup with BYU.
An early test to really find out what BYU is about.
Yep.
They should win all three of these matches. I'm hoping that that happens so that I don't learn something I don't want to learn.
Right. Oh, Fairfield beat BYU at home? What? BYU's only lost 9 times the last 9 years at home under Heather Olmstead.
That's fantastic.
So they don't lose these kind of games.
The Smithfield House is a special place. All right, let's keep the women's sports theme rolling.
Does women's soccer need to beat who's number 16 themselves?
Yes.
Also, number 19 Utah State, who's undefeated, to stay in the top 25?
No. But it needs to be, if BYU loses, it needs to be close. Like if they lose on their home field and it's like 2-0 or 3-1, then they're out of the top 25. This needs to be a close game. I'm hoping that BYU can pull at least a draw. I think that would be fantastic. There has been a transition period with BYU's offense, trying to figure out how to replace so many unbelievable weapons that primarily were drafted into the NWSL. So can they find somebody besides Allie Fryer to really threaten a defense? Just keep it close. So if it's a one-goal game.
What is this standard we're talking about? Keep it close with Utah State in any sport?
I'm just saying with a ranked
this
team.
Is,
I'm
right? Not looking Utah so much State's
at, I'm
better.
Not, I'm not so much looking at Utah State per se. I'm talking about a ranked opponent. If they want to stay in the top 25, voters will see, okay, well, Utah State was number 19, BYU was 16, the last one, nothing. Maybe BYU drops to the 23 or 24 spot.
We live in a world where we're hoping to keep it close with Utah State in the sport. This is wild. Maybe men's hoops a couple years ago would have been the case. No, I think they need to win. Here's why. There's only 8 voters in the United Soccer Coaches Poll.
You think losing to a ranked team is going to knock them out?
Well, they went down 12 spots after a tie and then they could very well after a lot. Like, if they lose twice this week, I think they're out. They've already lost once on the road. Good result. 1-0 at UCLA. They're number 3. Come on, it's okay. But I think they could get knocked out. There's not enough voters. There's too much sway if, like, 3 people are of the opinion that they shouldn't be in the poll. So what
if they tie? Because the question is need to beat. What if they tie Utah State? Do they have to win the game?
Is it 0-0?
Yeah.
Is it 1-1? Yeah.
If it's 1-1, you think they stay in the top 25. Do you not?
I don't know. The math is so, like, every voter has 12.5% of the vote. It's just too much power for those 8 coaches. And they may not even pay attention to what happened in the game. I don't know. I'm excited to call that one, too, though. That'll be
fun. Let's go. Big weekend, as I was saying, for the women's sports teams.
Absolutely.
Let's go. Ranked matchup for BYU women's soccer. Our question of the day is, we move back to football now, and it's more of a we want you to fill in the blank. Make your bold prediction about BYU tomorrow night against Southern Illinois at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. At Jackson5 Payne on X says, my prediction, there will be a starting quarterback tomorrow.
Guaranteed to happen.
100%.
I want them to run out Parker Kingston on the first snap so that he ends up being the starter just to laugh in the face of this whole thing.
Yes, Jackson, we said bold. We said bold, not just a prediction. We said bold.
He capitalized will.
At G Hansen 25.
He probably bolded it.
On X answers, the defense holds Southern Illinois to 13 points or fewer.
Is that bold? You're at home. I don't know.
I have no idea. I don't know. I have no idea what to expect.
I think I'm holding BYU to my, if you're going to actually be 7-5-ish standard, then you gotta show up.
Okay.
It can't be, like, if you're going to be the 5-7 team again, sure, score only 30 in this game. No, show me something.
13 points or fewer. What if BYU scores 63 and Southern Illinois scores 21? Would that matter?
I love the 63. Why'd you give up 21? What happened? Would it matter? No. None of it's going to matter. Ultimately, it's Big 12 play. Like, I just want to have a blowout win and then play, like, upset SMU on the road, beat Wyoming, and then beat Kansas State and be in a position where we're like, okay, BYU's way better.
13 points or fewer.
That's all I'm asking.
Like, to make that bold, I'd probably put it at 10 or fewer.
Yeah. Well, bold, I'd say seven or fewer.
Well,
FCS opponent at home, you don't want to give up two scores.
Okay.
One score is acceptable. It happens.
Hashtag BYUS on an X, Facebook, and Instagram to join the conversation. Send in your bold predictions.
The rub is against, like, what standard are we going to have with BYU here? Is it going to be like BYU's a good team, or is BYU's just meh?
I'm just saying, like, right? to know what the standard is going to be, we have to see what the heck they're going to do against a lower tier opponent. And then maybe
they should dominate.
They should. Yeah. They should.
This isn't the game. Ah. Yeah, it's all good. Okay, the game is tomorrow. We know that. That's not a bold prediction. That's just happening. Tomorrow at 6 Eastern, you can watch or listen to pregame shows. BYU Sports Nation Game Day on BYU TV, Cougar Pregame Live on BYU Radio, then the games on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio at 8 Eastern. Loaded day tomorrow. Prepare yourselves for 6 hours of awesome.
Up next, BYU TV analyst, dual threat analyst, Uncle B, Blaine Fowler, joins us. He's caught his breath after running every stare at LES.
Oh, man.
What statement does he want BYU to make? This is BYUSN.
I'm really excited for game week. It's here.
We're just ready for game one, and we're going to show what we can do this year.
BYU is deeper, more physical. I think they start 3-0.
We'll find out Saturday night. Whoever's in the game is in the game, and you got to go execute.
Amen to that. It's time to execute the second segment of our show. We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan joining us now. Fresh off running every single step in Lavelle Edwards Stadium, he is our dual threat analyst superstar, Blaine Fowler, national champion and a champion in our hearts. Blaine, welcome back to BYU Sports Nation on game day eve. How you feeling after running every stair?
Actually, this year I'm way better. Like last year, I was completely wrecked the next day. Like, in fact, the last couple years, I've been completely wrecked the next day. But knowing that Gavin was going to make me do this, right? Like, I actually did some more specific training. Like, I integrated a bunch of calf work into my workouts the last couple months. I've run a little bit of stadium stairs. Gavin's done it. Because, frankly, last year we got up the next morning. When I got out of bed, my calves didn't work. And I walked like a peg leg for, like, 3 days. And so feeling much better today. I actually got an early workout in. I'm going to try to ride my bike later tonight up the canyon. Like, it's all good. And I can tell you, if you guys ever have a chance to do that, it will just get you ready and in football mode. And it was really fun last night because the freshmen were all making their way in the stadium and forming their block white. We had just finished running that end zone and the students started to come in. By the time we got done, they had the block white in the end zone for their big freshman class picture. And I mean, I walked out of there with just like goosebumps ready for the game Saturday night. It was fun.
Can't wait, man. Okay, we were discussing, and we didn't agree, on what this game is going to mean for the season. Spencer feels strongly that, and I feel strongly too, that, okay, if BYU doesn't do something, if they struggle in a category, especially like running the ball, that would be, oh no, is this the same as last year? I'm of the opinion that if they have great success running the ball, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be awesome at it in Big 12 play. It's an FCS team. It's game one. You should be able to control the line of scrimmage to a certain degree. How do you feel about how much we're going to lean into what things mean projecting for the rest of the season?
Like the most important thing, I think, from a coaching perspective, like do they want to put the foot on the gas and really get after it on both sides of the ball? They absolutely do, because they want to start the season with some momentum, because let's face it, they finished the season last year without any, right? And so I think it is important that they play well, but more importantly, a lot of the losses down the stretch. Toward the end of the season on certain plays, like in the wrong gaps defensively, on the offense, making bad decisions at the quarterback decision or not running the right route. So I think more importantly is, do they play clean? Do the quarterbacks take care of the football? Are the linemen blocking the right people? Are they gap sound on defense? I mean, those are the kind of more in-depth things that I'm looking at, because I think they'll get much better from game one to game two. And if they can be assignment sound, I think they have plenty of physical talent on this team to have a solid season. It's correcting those errors that they were making down the stretch last year that's most important to me, and that's what I'm looking for.
This staff has shown that they don't want to actually put up a 70 spot, I think, on an FCS team per se. They would rather sort of keep the playbook vanilla. If they can win convincingly, great. Last year they pulled off the pedal when they were up 14-0 because they're like, we don't want to show our stuff. So I want to see 50-plus wins points here, Blaine. But I just think BYU is going to try and win the game. If they can win it convincingly, great. Stay healthy, be clean, move on, don't show the playbook. Do you think there would be anything other than that tomorrow?
We just lost Blaine Fowler. We'll get him reconnected in just a moment.
Listen, if he doesn't want to answer the question, it's fine.
He just dodged that blitz.
He's like, you know what? I'm out of here.
I got to go to the locker room for a little bit.
I got to bike the canyon, dude, tonight. That'll be beautiful.
Okay, so I do want to talk about the 14.5-point line, which, by the way, I think has dropped now to just straight up 14.
I saw DraftKings 14 yesterday.
ESPN is right at
14 is
points.
So low. We're not talking about a team that returns a bunch of people that went to the final of the FCS playoffs.
So based on
they were in five. They're good. Don't get me wrong.
And based on the fact that it opened at 19.5, it's never been this huge, overwhelming line.
It was never 28.
So I think 31. That's why maybe I feel more strongly about 30-plus points because the line was not even 20. It was 19.5 at its highest.
Yeah, what's the...
So, is a 30-plus, like, would a 30-plus point win, like, do we need to give that more credence because expectations are so low for BYU, and maybe expectations are a little higher for Southern Illinois because they've been good in recent years?
They just don't return a ton of the people.
You're buying into the Hans Olsen ideology a lot, right?
Yes. They have some quality transfers that are coming in from big programs. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, they have some guys. I'm not saying this is Southern Utah, but it's closer to like a good Weber State that's been in the FCS top 16. There's a reason BYU didn't play Jay Hill that often. Jay Hill is good. Frankly, I was a little surprised when they signed up Southern Illinois. Like, this is one of the better teams. Why does Colorado play North Dakota State? Like, that's a lose-lose situation. If you win, you're
supposed to. Why is
Colorado
throwing the ball with 1.5 minutes left in the game?
Why are they punting it with 10 on the play clock with 38 seconds left? Like, run that down. There's all kinds of questions.
Yes. All right, Blaine Fowler is back. He has reestablished his connection. Sorry, Blaine, if that was an off-putting question. We can reformat things.
So I was asking, that you mentioned, will this staff keep the pedal down? I don't think they will. They'd rather kind of... win the game and keep it as vanilla as possible in a win, and then they can kind of show stuff at SMU and Wyoming. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's a little of both in their mindset, and that is, like, you can't take your foot off the gas because this is too good a program. And I know you were just talking about that, the two of you. This is a program that has had some success with FBS teams. It's got a winning culture. They have some quality transfers in the program. I mean, that's good and bad. They got 13 transfers in the two deep this year because I'm telling you, I would not want to be coaching in FCS right now because the transfer rules. Now, it's so hard to keep a consistent roster, and it's getting harder each year. But it's a culture of winning. It's a coaching staff that's really creative. On the offensive side, they do a lot to get people isolated in space. They're really smart with formations and motion. Defensively, they run a 3-3-5, and they're really, really sound with what they do. And so this is a good team. This isn't a team you can go in and say, hey, let's hold out these five packages for SMU so we don't show them. I don't think you have that luxury. Frankly, I would never schedule Southern Illinois, or as you mentioned, North Dakota State, in a first game. I just wouldn't do it. But that's what they've got. So I think you have to be really careful about looking ahead and saying, let's hold packages out. And, you know, if BYU jumps on them early, then maybe they don't get to some of their stuff. But I don't think they go in with a mindset that we're not going to use these three or four things.
Blaine, there are clearly differing opinions on what would qualify as a statement for all BYU fans. Here in Studio B with Jerem and I giving our opinions. And then across BYUSN, as we've seen on social media, in your opinion, what would qualify as the proper statement from BYU? Because I'm looking at what happened against Sam Houston and Southern Utah last year, and not being able to run the ball was just a huge red flag. So my expectations, like 30 plus, if they can run for 200 plus, to me, that makes enough of a statement for me to be like, okay, we're headed in the right direction. Where do you stand in that conversation?
See, I'm okay. Like, I'm a little more tempered than you. I think 21. Like, the original line was what? Was it 19?
Yeah, that was the highest it was.
It opened there, yeah.
Yeah. And so to me, it's like that original line or the highest line, cover that. So I've been thinking all along moving into this, even as good as they are, 21 points. And then at 21 points, I also want to see them get to work on some things at the end of the game, to get some guys in the game with some experience, to play both quarterbacks, to get some of these young defensive players. This freshman class on defense, now at the end of fall camp, I'm going to call it a home run, like a big time home run. I would like to see some of those guys play. I would rather have a 21-point win and play those guys than a 31-point win. That's my preference.
You called it a home run with freshmen. You're talking about Tommy Prassis and Falatel Satuala. Who are you talking about that you want to see play, freshmen?
Yeah, I'd like to see Trey Alexander play. Those two that you mentioned, for sure. Maybe Matthias at the other corner. Also, some of these sophomores, Evan Johnson. I think he's going to play a bunch regardless because he's going to be in the rotation this year. But I want to see those guys. I really want to see Prassis, Falatau, and especially Trey Alexander. Really, really good freshman class. And Johnny, the other corner, who I think is a custom-made nickel guy in the long term here.
Cabea.
Like, there's some really, really good secondary players that are freshmen that I would like to see get in this game. And I think you get to 21 and you feel comfortable, get those guys in the game and give them some experience. Because as the season progresses, this whole thing about, well, BYU, you know, there's a speed disadvantage. Not with those guys, there's not. There's no speed disadvantage. BYU has as much speed as anybody in the country now, especially when you get into their young guys. And so I'd like to see that speed out on the field in this game, if possible. So get to 21. That's plenty of a statement. And get those guys in the game.
Okay, we'll finish with this, Blaine. Give us one bold prediction that will happen tomorrow night for BYU.
Rather than like throw a stat out there, because I think we're going to be more impressed with the run game than people think, let me throw two names out there that we're all going to go, wow, that was a surprise. I think Hinkley Ropati, we got to keep that guy healthy. People are going to go away from the game and go, wow, we forgot how good he is, and he might even be better than we remember. So watch for that. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I think people are going to go, wait a minute, Tanner Wall? He's killing people out there. What's going on out there? He's as physical a safety as we've had in a long, long time. People don't know who he is, but by the end of Saturday night, they're going to go, wow, Tanner Wall is going to knock somebody out before this season is over.
Let's go.
Kellen Fowler vibes. Let's go.
Yeah.
Great stuff. Blaine.
He reminds me of Andrew Rich. He's not as big as Andrew, but like Andrew Rich type of a guy hitting.
Let's go.
Yeah. He is so fun to watch. People are going to say wow about him after tomorrow night.
Great stuff as always. Cannot wait to kick off the season tomorrow night. You can see more of Blaine Fowler beginning at 6 Eastern live on BYU TV, our 2-hour pregame special. Thanks, Blaine.
Thanks, Blaine.
See ya.
By the way, the over-under, 50.5. So like a 35-20-ish score. That's what...
Did you feel good about that?
No. Too many points allowed. Come on. Number 16 women's volleyball opens the season with a pair of home matches today in the doTERRA Classic, beginning with Southeastern Louisiana at 2 Eastern, that's in about 90 minutes, and Fairfield at 9 Eastern. And then they'll play High Point on Saturday, all games on ESPN+.
Still on the way, Taysom Hill's first ever pass featured on this show. Why are we talking about it on this date in Cougar football history? This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social. We're on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. It's game day eve for BYU football. Frankly, it's game day eve for BYU women's soccer. More on that in a moment. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. And it's game day for BYU women's volleyball.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Season.
Hey, we've been celebrating and honoring the 100th season of BYU football in a myriad of ways. And lately, we have chosen to do on this date in BYU football history. So, on this day, Jerem, what happened?
BYU opened the 2012 season against Washington State and won Mike Leach, former BYU student who was mentored by Lavelle Edwards and that staff. BYU jumped out to a 24-3 lead in the second quarter. Two touchdown passes from Riley Nelson, 285 yards, two touchdowns.
There's the great Mike Leach. True freshman Taysom Hill. Remember that guy?
I do remember that.
Oh, yeah. Played in his first game. He threw one pass, went for an 18-yard touchdown to Kaneakua Friel.
It was on fourth down.
Yes, it was.
Here it is.
And right here there. It is.
He could have run for that, but he chose to pass. Isn't that ironic?
The first of many great highlights for Taysom Hill. Riley Stevenson added three field goals. BYU won 30-6, went 8-5 that season. All right. That was On This Date in BYU football history. Let's get to today's headlines.
BYU football opens the season tomorrow against Southern Illinois. Cougars a 14 and a half point favorite. Kickoff at 8 Eastern on ESPN Plus, BYU Radio. Pre-games on BYU TV and BYU Radio starting at 6 Eastern.
Four Big 12 teams kicked off their respective 2024 seasons last night. All four teams winning against FCS foes. Number 22 Kansas and their Powder Blues beat Lindenwood 48-3. 12th-ranked Utah beat Southern Utah 49-0. UCF beat New Hampshire 57-3. And Colorado survived a late rally attempt from North Dakota State 31-26.
Former quarterback Keaton Slovis signed with the Houston Texas practice squad yesterday. Slovis joins Max Tooley in Houston after playing the preseason with the Colts.
16th-ranked BYU women's volleyball, as we just referenced, opened their season in the doTERRA Classic. Two games today, one game tomorrow. Beginning at 2 Eastern today, BYU will take on Southeastern Louisiana and then Fairfield at 9 Eastern. Tomorrow, BYU will play High Point at 9 Eastern. All games streaming on ESPN Plus.
Number 16 women's soccer hosts number 19 Utah State tomorrow night in the first ever top 20 showdown between these two. BYU 1-1-2 on the season. Aggies 4-0, outscoring their opponents 11-0. We'll preview tomorrow's game in the next segment with goalkeeper Lynette Hernandez.
Second-ranked BYU men's cross country opens their season tomorrow morning at the Utah State Alumni Challenge. Good luck to the Cougars.
The track and field has three athletes competing in the finals of their events at the U20 World Championships. Alyssa Keller in the javelin final today, Wyatt Houghton in the steeplechase final tomorrow, and Carter Cutting tomorrow in the 1500.
Jerem just mentioned her name, BYU keeper. Outstanding goalie Lynette Hernandez is in studio next to preview that top 20 matchup with the Aggies under the lights of South Field. Let's get as many people there as possible because it's super intimidating. This is BYUSN. We are back. BYU Sports Nation continues live from Studio B alongside Jerem Jordan. I am Spencer Linton. Time to welcome in, as we promised, the outstanding keeper for BYU women's soccer. The 16th-ranked Cougars take on number 19 Utah State tomorrow night. Lynette Hernandez is with us.
What's up, Lynette?
On BYUSN.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Okay, we need to talk about the shift in your role and responsibility because you played on a team last year that was so veteran-laden and had so many bright stars. The majority of them go to the National Women's Soccer League and move on. Now you're in this leadership role. So how have you approached that challenge and stepping into a bigger role in that regard?
Yeah, definitely this upcoming season, I knew that was gonna happen. And I'm very grateful for last season to be able with all those veterans and especially their examples and their leadership examples. And I think about what they did and how I need to be doing that as well. So I think about Olivia Katoa, right? She was an outstanding leader, always smiling, telling girls what they're doing right, and like, we'll give it to you and let you know what you also need to work on. And I think she had the perfect balance of what a leader should look like. Mm. And then Lavinia Vaca in the back, constantly loud, yelling at us, making sure we're gonna get there and defend our goal. And I think about her and her example, I was like, okay, it's my turn to be that loud voice in the back. And so.
Did you ever want to tell Lavinia to be quiet? I get it, okay, I got
you.
It.
I heard you.
Oh my goodness, now there's a few times where I'm like, oh, I'm sorry.
No one tells Lava what to do.
It's just, true, just Lava's saying. Awesome.
Yeah,
she's amazing.
Okay, you guys have had a really tough schedule. You beat Wisconsin, who was ranked, you tied St. Louis, who was ranked. You played UCLA tough on Wednesday, lost 1-0. Now you got Utah State. Utah State's gotten a result three of the last four against BYU, but you got the last laugh in the NCAA tournament last year.
You did.
And now they're ranked. They haven't given up a goal. They're playing really well. This has become a massive game. How are you feeling about tomorrow's matchup with Utah State?
I'm excited. I am so excited for tomorrow. Obviously, like any Utah team wants to come and beat BYU, and we are ready for that challenge. And it's exciting, you know, good for Utah State that they're doing well. It's a good thing for us. Now we have more challenge. And I totally think, like, throughout this preseason, the girls have been stepping up every single game, especially in that UCLA game. I think you guys saw in that second half, we were outstanding, and we expect to bring that the full 90 minutes now for Utah State.
So based on the film that you have watched on Utah State, and I know you probably watch more detail than most because you are the keeper and you got to understand like what certain players like to do up front, but How do they as a team compare to some of the other ranked teams that you have faced this season, most recently UCLA?
I think with any team we approach, like compared to UCLA, I think it's the same thing. Like no matter what, like each team may play a little bit different, but we know how we play. And that's what's important, is how we play, what our strengths are. And when we're watching film, there's little key things that we can see that we can take advantage of. But they're just like any other team. They're a team that we want to come and beat, and we're going to be ready for them.
Defensively, you guys have been fantastic. You haven't given up 2 goals in the game, 3 goals total in 4 games. Obviously, offensively, need to score a little more.
Yeah.
And once that starts happening, we're going to see this thing get rolling. How are you feeling about how this team is kind of carving out its identity? Because you lost 9 starters.
I know. I think, I want to say this, what Tom Homo said to us. He was like, you know, like, I knew you guys were going to be a brand new team this year, and I knew it was going to be challenging. But where we're at now, he said to us this other day, he was like, you're way far advanced than I thought you were going to be. So I'm like,
how'd you take that?
Doubted us? And I was like, oh my goodness. No, we have so much talent on the team, so much talent. And we are still expected to be, again, a top 10 team in the nation no matter what, because, again, we have so much talent.
Yeah.
It's just now taking time and taking that experience to learn how we can work with each other's talents. And it's coming. It's coming so well every single game.
How do you manage those expectations? Because, understandably, just logistically speaking, when you lose the core that you did, it's like, okay, we're going to have to, there's going to be a transition period. We're going to have to build. So how do you handle expectations of being ranked when the preseason began as a top 5 team, but knowing, man, we have some pieces to replace and it might be a little bit of a slow build. How do you approach that?
Yeah. Well, as a goalkeeper, I have a lot of pressure on me consistently throughout my whole entire life. And, you know, people always say, like, if you get score on, the goalkeeper's fault or things like that. And I think about those expectations, and then I think about everyone else's expectations. For me to handle the pressure, it's in one ear out the other. You cannot take the outside. You cannot take the unknown. You cannot take the future and bring that in your head, because then you're just creating fear. And there's no reason to do that. When I think about these expectations, I just think about as a team, like, we take one game at a time. It does not matter what other people say. What matters is what we're doing right now and enjoy the moment.
Let's talk about your story, which was pretty awesome. You go to Washington State. You get baptized. You go on a mission to Salt Lake. You transfer to BYU, and then you're the starting keeper on a team that goes to the College Cup.
Oh, my gosh.
How would you summarize the last couple of years of your life here?
Incredible. I'm so blessed. You saying that right now, I'm just like, oh, my gosh. Like, this is my life. I've been a member now 4 years. 4 years, 5 years now, this has been happening. It's been a consistent uphill. And I never thought I'd be right here, right now with you guys. Never thought that.
What was the turning point for you in all of that that caught your interest initially about BYU and the church in general?
It was my junior year of high school where I met some amazing friends. We were at lunch. This is my first time hanging out with this group of friends. And they were just talking about church so normally, saying, oh, I have to give a talk on Sunday. And they're like, oh, you going to the mutual activity this week? And to hear these kids like talk about church, and you know, of course I'm like asking, like, what are you guys talking about? And they're like, oh, we go to church. For me growing up, I always had a faith in Jesus Christ, but I just didn't go to church. And I don't know where I got this from, but I always wanted to go. And so to finally see kids my age in California, a whole group of 10 of them all go, I thought that was the coolest thing ever. And then I got to know them and I got to know their families. This was a turning point for me, was to go in their homes. And when I was in their homes, there's pictures of them and their families in front of a church building. And they had pictures of Christ on the wall. And the coolest thing ever was when they said a prayer over their meal just to bless it. Like, for me, feeling that, like, you feel the Spirit instantly. An outsider, I felt that. And when I was looking at their families and just seeing how happy and blessed they were because they put Christ first, I just realized, like, that's exactly what I want. And so, you know, my junior year, got to know them more. My senior year, I got introduced to the missionaries. And then on my 18th birthday. I had to wait till I was 18 to get baptized. I woke up and I called the bishop that morning saying, I'm 18, let's schedule my baptism. two weeks later, yep, got baptized.
Set the path. We appreciate the insight into that background. And you know, we're so glad that you're at BYU. Can't wait to watch you continue to compete.
Fun to watch you play.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
And do your thing against Utah State. We're going to give you some BYU Sports Nation karma so you can make some more great saves. You've had plenty this season. Thanks, Lynette.
Thank you so much.
You got it.
Okay, watch Sister Hernandez and the number 16 women's soccer team take on number 19 Utah State tomorrow night at Southfield, 10 Eastern on ESPN+. Shout out to The Rock. If you're at the football game, game end, you get over to Southfield as soon as you can.
After the break, it's time for Big 12 Pick'em with our first guest picker of the season, Jonathan Tavernari. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day, which is more of a statement. Fill in the blank. Make your bold prediction about BYU tomorrow night against Southern Illinois. Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated comes in from CJDog_2024 on X, who says, BYU uses both Retzloff and Bohannon, and they both have two touchdown passes.
Just keep this going.
Wow. Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
How about our guy Tyce Campbell and his family here for the Southern Illinois game? What's up, Campbell fam? Hanging out. Tyce is a nub ability athlete, is helping raise money for others who have gone through cancer or hardship like he has. He is in Studio B. He's with us right now. And he and I are basically the same person. Our birthdays are 3 days apart. He's a Seahawks fan, and he loves BYU. So, Tyce, you're the man, dude. Thanks for being here.
He's way cooler than you, bro.
I agree. I agree with that. They're from Nevada. Thanks for coming in, guys.
I'm so happy to have them all here. It's time to welcome in our first guest picker of the season for our new Big 12 Pick'em segment. Jonathan Tavernari joins us over Zoom. We're ready to go.
JT!
JT, we got to do this quickly, but I know that you can score quickly, so here we go. All right, pretty simple game. We've identified six Big 12 games. It's your job to pick who you think will win each game straight up. Let's get right to it, beginning with TCU at Stanford tonight. TCU favored by 8.5. JT, who you got here?
I love that you guys got a basketball guy to do this. Fantastic work and programming. Everybody there from junior to Ben. Shout out, guys. I got TCU winning at Stanford, 28-17.
I'm rolling with the Horned Frogs as well, Jim.
I know. TCU. Josh Hoover's going to have to throw a million passes, but yeah, TCU wins.
Okay, across the board for TCU. On to game number two.
Number 8, Penn State taking on West Virginia. What do you think, JT?
Upset coming. West Virginia wins at home 38-34. I think that, you know, last year's game, the way that it was, and returning starters, I did my homework. How good do I sound? I think they went in at home for the Mountaineers.
Let's go.
Baby.
Country roads, take me home. I'm
with you,
JT. West Virginia, Garrett Green, Neil Brown, I'm rolling with the Mountaineers.
No. Penn State's going to win this. It'll be close, but Penn State's going to win. They have a new OC, Andy Kotelnicki. He was at Kansas last year. They were pretty good on
Morgantown's going to be rocking. All right, game number 3, UNLV. At Houston, Willie Fritz, new head coach for the Cougars in red, makes his debut. They're a 2.5-point favorite. JT, who are you rolling with here?
Close game. I know family over there is from Nevada. I'm a Gorman guy. I think the home team takes to this one. 17-13, kind of a sluggish game. Not a whole lot of points scored.
I have Houston as well. Donovan Smith throws for 300-plus.
Houston across the board here. I think we all like the Big 12 teams, don't we?
So far, so good, except for me with Penn State. Wyoming at Arizona State. Two BYU opponents here.
I like Wyoming 20-10. Ooh. I think experience is going to count. And Arizona State has been kind of sluggish the last few years.
Okay.
And it takes the time to get out of the slump. And I, you know, slowly but surely, but I don't think this is the game that gets them going in the right direction.
ASU star running back Harrison Whaley's not there. Give me return missionary Sam Levitt as their ASU coach, down Levitt's brother. For the win, ASU gets it.
Arizona State on their home field. I think this matters, especially in the season opener against Wyoming. I'm going with Arizona State as well. Okay, game number 5. Bronco Mendenhall in his second game as the New Mexico head coach at number 21, Arizona. They're 31-point dogs. Are you going with Bronco, JT?
I love Bronco. He invited me to be a tight end, but I chose to be a three-point shooter. I'm going to go with Arizona 34-10. You know, they got one of the best QBs in the country. Wide receivers, wild. And I think it's going to be a slugfest. And Broncos know for his defense, but I don't think that's going to matter much on this game.
Arizona's winning this.
Arizona's going to win going away. Too much offense for sure. And I'm guessing the final game, it's BYU Southern Illinois. JT,
by how much?
In 5 seconds, How much are BYU going to win by?
A million.
Love it. Thanks, JT.
Hey, great to talk to you, brother. Always a pleasure. The great Jonathan Tavernari, our guest picker.
Sorry to all of you. We didn't have Dennis Pitta right there. We already had him on earlier in the week. So
really comes down to West Virginia and Penn State, right?
It really does. That was the only different pick, I think, right?
All right. Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, Facebook. For Jerem Jordan, I am Spencer Linton. Shout out to Derwin Gray, who has been very vocal this week. He's all in on the Cougs.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see you tomorrow. All day football, and join Jerem for volleyball on ESPN Plus starting at 2 Eastern.
Football's back, baby!
Go Cougs!